We'll continue our study on our great salvation, and we're considering especially now the garments of salvation. Our text that we've taken is in Isaiah 61:10, and I'm just the one to give you advice on style and how to dress. Well, maybe not so much in the natural. I don't know what I would look like if I didn't have a good wife. But in the spiritual, it's a different story. Thank the Lord for the instruction book. Now, when I got married, I didn't get an instruction book on how to dress. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the only book you'll ever need. It's called the Bible. We've considered to this point basically the the robe of righteousness, and we'll touch on it just a little bit more. All of God's children are given the robe of righteousness as the first garment of salvation. If you'll read the reference, it's called the garments of salvation. And then a special mention is made of the robe of righteousness. The moment we accept Christ as our Savior, we are clothed or covered with the righteousness of Christ. This is just a little bit of a review here. And I want to call your attention to the fact that this garment is not an apron as Adam's was. It's not a t-shirt, it's not a muscle shirt, it's not a tank top. It's not a sleeveless, strapless gown, it's not a skimpy miniskirt. It isn't a tight-fitting, revealing pair of pants or dress. Now, those are some things that people use to cover their nakedness, and it doesn't do a real good job. It's a robe, the robe of righteousness. It is a long, cover-everything robe. Aren't you glad for that? Referring once again to Isaiah 61 and verse 10, I'm going to read a little bit from a different version. The Living Bible has this to say, it's translated this way: He has draped me about with the robe of righteousness. Or He has draped about me the robe of righteousness. The New American Standard says, and I like this perhaps the best of any of the versions that I consulted, He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. Perhaps the word draped, as we used in the other version, might give you the idea, just kind of threw it at you, and it landed however it lands, and just kind of threw it on you. But the last version we read explains it very good. He wrapped us in the robe of righteousness. Kittle says that the word clothed means first equipping, then fitting out, then especially dress, either male or female. It refers to the long and flowing upper garment and sometimes the special robe of priest. I think always this is the word that's used. So we are covered, that is, we are thrown all around, or we are wrapped all about by God with that which pleases Him the most, the righteousness of Christ. We also dwelt on this fact, that which God finds delight in is the simple color white, the robe of linen, which speaks of the righteousness of Christ. Nothing fancy, nothing apparently very, very beautiful or anything, but in God's sight, the most beautiful thing there is. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, a whole wardrobe is at our disposal. We have a whole wardrobe, but we must put them on. There are many scriptures, and we'll consider quite a few of them, not tonight, but as we go along. There are many scriptures that speak of putting on. We'll find that the term put on or putting on, which implies action on the part of the individual. Now, when you accept Christ as your Savior, it's God Himself who clothes you with the robe of Christ's righteousness. And there is no other. This is one of those cases when really, truly, one size and color fits all. There is no sinner so good that he can get by without it, and there is no sinner so bad and so terrible that he can't be fully covered with it. So we don't need several different sizes. We don't need several different colors or kinds. It's the righteousness of Christ, or it's nothing. Either we have been made righteous in the righteousness of Christ, we have his righteousness, or we have nothing. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verses 10 through 14. This is one of the portions of Scripture which is quite often used along the line of our wardrobe. Some have termed this portion of Scripture the spiritual wardrobe or the wardrobe of the believer. And in it, Paul exhorts us to put some things on. Let's read from verse 10. Colossians 3, reading from verse 10. And have put on the new man, who is received in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. I like that phrase, that declaration, that Christ is all and in all. Here Paul mentions the Jews, the Greeks, the circumcised, uncircumcised. In other words, the various groups and classes of people that there are in the world, but they all must put on, first of all, the righteousness of Christ. Christ is all in all, or that is, Christ and his righteousness is all in all. In other words, he's all we need. He is all I need. He is all you need. He is all the Jews need. He is all that anybody else needs. He is all in all. Verse 12, therefore, this is how we are. And from this point now, there is the exhortation to do something on our part. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what should we do? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And I'm reading from the New King James here. If you have a different version, it'll read a little bit different in some places. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, this is part of the wardrobe that God has given us that was ours when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of the things that are mentioned here are part of the garments of salvation. They come from and they pertain to our great salvation. I'm going to read a paraphrase here from a different version that says this. Now, remember, this is a paraphrase. This isn't a translation. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator and has his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Once again, I want to emphasize this is not a translation. It is a paraphrase, but I believe that it does indeed explain what Paul is telling us here. You remember the outrageously priced clothes that we mentioned at the beginning of this part of our series? I told you I'd come back to it and try to make sense out of it. I'll just to refresh your memory, remember a pair of shoes for $800, sunglasses for $400, a dress for $5,400. You didn't go out and buy these things, did you? A hat for $2,400, a scarf for $1,300, and to top it all off, a tote bag for $650 after you spend all that money on what you're going to tote. But anyway, there was a method in my madness for bringing that up. These items were so expensive because they were special made designer apparel. These aren't things you can go down to Target and buy. And no doubt they were very well made with the finest materials. I didn't read all the fine print, but I'm sure they were well made with the best materials. And if you were to buy and wear those articles of clothing, you'd be making a statement I don't know what else you're going to use. Not because they were all that beautiful. But by doing that, you would be making a statement. Now, God wants us to make a statement. The garments of salvation that God has given us are extremely expensive. Speaking of these articles I just mentioned, you could say that if you bought them, they cost you an arm and a leg. Or I don't know, whatever other phrase you want to use, they're going to set you back a little bit. The garments of salvation literally cost more than an arm and a leg. The garments of salvation cost a life. A life was given that you and I might have, if you will, these designer clothes. They were purchased by the shedding of the precious blood of God's only begotten Son. There is nothing in the entire universe that is more costly than the garments of salvation. To you and to I, they're free. You didn't pay anything when you received this robe of righteousness which God gave you. And you don't pay anything along the way as you, in a practical manner, put on the things that are mentioned here and others that we'll consider. They're free to you, but they cost somebody. They cost the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the expression, and once again, I emphasize it's not a translation, but I like this phrase, that they are custom made by God Himself with His label on it. As I've stated before, I'm not a clothes. I was going to wear my polo shirt tonight. I forgot. And that's about the only thing that I can remember that I've got in my closet that has something on that somebody would remember. It's a polo shirt. A guy on a horse with a polo stick. It's a polo shirt. It has a label on it. Well, I know that labels can be counterfeited. Take a trip to Paraguay if you don't believe me. And you can buy Levi jeans that I don't know where in the world they were made. But they have the Levi label on them. They can be counterfeited. Our garments cannot be counterfeited. God's label is upon them. Paul exhorts us to put on these articles and wear them proudly. Make a statement. We'll consider them briefly. I'm not going to go in a lot of detail. But just as a person, if they had bought these articles, bought them all, put them all on, they would wear those things very proudly because they're making a statement. You and I need to make a statement to the world. I am a child of God. I belong to God. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. I don't wear the old, out-of-date rags of the old creation. I proudly and yet humbly wear the latest heavenly fashion of the new creation. It's the latest and the only fashion. Not just the latest. It's the only fashion. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse that most of us are very familiar with, but that points out the truth I'm trying to get across here. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. We're speaking here in the thought of clothing. So we can say old clothes have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I've made this statement before, and maybe some of you are like me. I have a lot of old clothes, and well, I used to, in my closet. They're disappearing a little bit every once in a while. But old clothes that I've always kind of liked, that I feel comfortable in them. And I maybe I need glasses, I don't know. But my wife will tell me, that collar is frayed. I don't know what that is. It looks like a good collar to me. But anyway, those things after a while disappear. But they're comfortable. And then she'll buy me something new. Now, whenever you buy something new, it I don't know what they put in it, but it's, I don't know what it is. But, you know, it just isn't the same. Why are so many of God's people so miserable? Do you know any saints that are miserable? The problem is they're wearing the wrong clothes. They're maybe a size 16 trying to wear a size 12. Is that possible? I don't know. Well, okay. If it's a man, I can relate to this. Maybe he's a 40 trying to squeeze into a 36. That's, I know, I'm speaking from experience now. I don't know about the other. I got to stay away from that anyway. But I know about the last. And it is not comfortable. It just isn't comfortable. But that's exactly what so many of God's people are doing. God has given them a brand new wardrobe, custom made with His label on it. The best that the universe can buy, because He bought it with His own blood. And yet they look and say, well, you know, this old rag, still pretty good, still got some wear to it. And so they wear it, but they are miserable. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you immediately outgrow all your garments. Remember what Paul said? All things have passed away. All things are new. Let's consider the phrase, put on. The word or the phrase, put on, means simply to enter into, to get into, as into clothes, in the sense of sinking into a garment. I like that phrase. Sinking, it's been a long time since I've sunk into a garment. But anyway, sinking into a garment. Or it also means to invest with clothing. Now, the verb is almost usually reflexive. That is an action that one does to or for themselves. The dictionary gives this definition of reflexive, just kind of a review of grammar, English, or whatever it is we call it. That which is directed or turned back on itself. I put my shoes on. I put my shoes on me. I used to comb my hair. I don't do that anymore, so I have to worry about that. But there's still, I put things on. I do it to me. In Isaiah 61 and verse 10, the clothing or the putting on is done by God. He has clothed me with the robe of righteousness. Now, you can't do that. You cannot clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ. Now, in a practical sense, yes. In a practical sense, yes. You can follow the ways of God. But, and also thinking of this, really sinking into a garment. Kind of keep that in your mind, sinking into a garment. God didn't really put it on us. He put it in us. I don't have a shroud around me, nor a glow of any kind. That's the righteousness of Christ, but it is within me. When God put the robe of righteousness on us, He did a work on the inside, didn't He? He put that righteousness in us. This is the provision of God. And as I said, we can't make ourselves righteous. God clothes us. But we can put on the robe of righteousness in the sense of living a life of righteousness in a practical way. As we surrender to the new life of Christ that's within us, we will indeed put on, that is, make manifest in a visible manner, all that Paul tells us to put on in Colossians 3:10. Let's refer to that again. I'm not going to go one by one explaining all of these terms, simply to mention them. They're self-explanatory, I believe. What are we to put on? This is part of our wardrobe, something we should put on. It speaks of doing, putting on or making it practical. Putting on or making it practical, putting into practice. Tender mercies. Having mercy is not a natural trait. Now, as we kind of skim through the list here, these seem to be simply natural traits that the people have. But really, man does not know how to show mercy unless God has showed that person mercy. Kindness, being kind not to those who are kind to us, but kind to those who are not kind to us. Humility. Humility is a trait that you do not find in humanity. Meekness, long-suffering. Bear with one another, forgive each other, forgive as Christ forgave. And last but not least, put on love. Once again, this is not human love. This is divine love, the love that God had for you and I. This must be a work of God Himself. This is perhaps the most beautiful garment of all that's listed here, and it complements all the other garments. If you don't have love, Paul says, you're just like a sounding, like a tingling cymbal, just make a noise if you don't have love. So these are not just good human traits that we should show, but these are Christ-like attributes of the new nature that we have in Christ. These are the clothes that the world should see us in our everyday life. Now, I want to make this point also, that the clothes listed here are not good Sunday school go-to-meeting clothes. These are not just clothes that you put on for a special occasion. You know, on a special occasion, I'm going to be meek. On this special occasion, I'm going to show mercy. These are not for Sunday wearing. They are your everyday duds. These are your work clothes. We're not talking here about a special occasion. We're talking about each and every day of your life. These are the garments of salvation we wear every day. Put them on. As Paul, I would exhort you, I would exhort us to put them on. Don't be afraid they are out of style or will go out of style. Now, once again, I don't worry about style. I wouldn't be a bit prettier if I did. So I don't worry about it. But some people do. Is this in style or out of style? I know that there are extremes you can go to. I don't want to get too far out left field there. But don't worry about these clothes. They're not going to go out of style. Now, as far as the world is concerned, yes. If you put these clothes on, if you wear them as you should wear them, yes, the world will look at you and call you antiquated or a lot of other things that we won't even pronounce here. But they are not really out of style. Unfortunately, even as far as most Christians are concerned, they would probably be considered out of style. What we do here in these four walls is pretty much out of style in other places. They have some other things that they put on that are certainly a whole lot more showy, a lot more glamorous. They call your attention. But as far as eternity is concerned, they'll never go out of style. Let's read in 1 John 2. Verses 16 and 17. 1 John 2. First John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. God has gone to a lot of trouble, if we can use that phraseology concerning God, to supply us with the best wardrobe possible. You can't find a wardrobe any better than what we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. These things do not have the Father's label on them. He did not design them. He did not put His label on them. They're not of the Father, but is of the world. And what about the world? That even we as God's people get so concerned about sometimes. The world is passing away. and the lust of it. The world, we're talking here the best of the world. The best that the world has to offer. And probably you and I live in the best time that the world has ever known. We talk about the good old days, but hey, I don't know that we would go back to them as far as modern conveniences are concerned. It's kind of nice to turn on a faucet and have the water run right through. Or sit in your chair and push a button and things happen. Whatever they are. You got. You don't even have to push your vacuum machine anymore or your lawnmower. You know, you can just push a button and away it goes. So we live probably in the best time that the world has ever known. But the Bible says it ain't so. The world is passing away. As you look at the world from human eyes, it seems like the world is just getting bigger and bigger, and in so many ways better and better. That's what we get anyway from advertisement. Things are always bigger, better. But the Word says, so which are we going to believe? The Word says it's passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. These garments will never, ever go out of style. They will never go out of date. The same robe of righteousness that God gave me when I became his child is mine throughout eternity. That which God has given you in Jesus Christ is forever. Let's go on to Isaiah 61. We won't get far on this probably, but it's another important garment that I want to consider tonight, or at least get into it. In Isaiah 61 and verse 3, Isaiah 61 and verse 3, another of these wonderful garments of salvation. Isaiah 61, 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Here we have the garment of praise. The garment of praise. Now, personally, I think that this is one of the most important and useful as well as beautiful garments of salvation. I don't know that it's necessarily the most important, but it's certainly one of the most beneficial. The garment of praise. What do we praise God for? For salvation, for deliverance, for sins forgiven, a home in heaven, and the list goes on. We praise God for so many things. How beautiful is salvation and everything that's connected with it. This garment of praise is a beautiful garment. Those who wear it and know how to wear it and wear it often are some of the most beautiful children of God you'll ever see. Here, as in Zechariah 3, there's an exchange offered. God offers an exchange here. The garment of praise in exchange for the spirit of heaviness. What a trade. What a trade. God wants to take all that is heavy, cumbersome, unpleasant, and binding, all that is causing us to be bent over and causing us to walk with halting steps. And he says, I have a better garment for you. There is a chorus. I don't know whether you sing it here or not. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise the Spirit. Praise the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. I put on my garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness is gone from me, since I put on my garment of praise. Psalm 31, verse 1 says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, For praise from the upright is beautiful. Don't you just love to be around some grumpy old Christian who's all the time murmuring and complaining, and they have to watch where they step, or they'll step on their bottom lip, and things are always just so tough, so bad. Well, probably they are. Probably they are. But God offers to take that heavy rope and give us something that's much lighter. For praise from the upright is beautiful. It's a joy to be around those who always have praise on their lips. The Amplified says praise is becoming and appropriate. Praise is becoming and appropriate. The world murmurs and complains. You and I have something to praise God for. I don't care how desolate the situation is or becomes. We always have something to praise God for. As I've said before on many occasions when I've been under that heavy old rope, the thought comes to me, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. And that causes me to rejoice. Not because the situation changed, but because I could praise the Lord. So it's praise that makes the upright so beautiful. Personally, I'm just giving you my own personal druthers here. I love to be among God's people that know how to praise God. I just hate to go to a meeting where I know if I say amen, people are going to turn around and look at me. Nobody's thrown anything at me yet, but that could happen. But how beautiful it is to be among saints who know how to praise the Lord. Many times, especially in Paraguay, I've stood for just a few moments with my eyes open as the congregation was praising the Lord. And I observed with awe an overwhelming joy as the saints, sometimes 600 or 700 of them, lifted their voices in praise. To me, that's the most beautiful sight that there is. I just love to be around those who know how to stand in the presence of the Lord and lift their hand, lift their voice, and lift their heart to the Lord in praise. We need the praises of the Lord. How beautiful they are. The word praise or praises or praising is used more than 180 times in the Psalms. I think that's one of the reasons that we like to consult the Psalms every once in a while. I know I do, almost every day. Because there's always a note of praise. And praise lifts you up. You cannot truly praise the Lord and be under the results or the influence of a heavy burden. Like I say, that burden may still be there. That heaviness, as far as the situation that causes it is concerned, may still be there. But somehow there is a lightness, if you will, that floats us out from under that heaviness and directs us to the Lord. Let's stand in closing and let's praise the Lord. We'll continue with this thought next Sunday. There's more on the garment of praise. The emphasis here is that it's a light garment as compared to the heaviness. Heaviness is not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily sinful. We live in a world that presents to us quite often situations that are heavy. I'm not going to try to fool anybody here. I know you. You know you. You know me. You know life. It's full of situations that cause us heaviness, and it is real. This isn't imagination. You're not just imagining that this heavy thing is upon you. It is. Hallelujah. But God stands by and says, I will offer you. I will give you the robe, the garment of praise.